Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. We are here today to say goodbye, Trevor, and I wrote an article about this today as well, you know, to talking about the players that we just can't hold on to anymore after the NFL Combine. I mean, they still may have a role in the NFL, but compared to where we were putting them and where we've been hyping them, you know, I think Dan Hatman's said it really well, that don't let a decision linger if it's a bad one just because you spent a long time making it. And for a lot of these guys, it's been that way. You know, there's been months of us talking and talking and talking, but the combine is important for a reason. And for some players, certain types of players, they really need good combines for their skill set to be dynamic at the NFL level. So, and we may even talk about guys that other people, we necessarily weren't high on, that other people should let go of, like LJ Collier. But I digress. But I digress.
Yeah, you truly digress. Yeah, this is the We Hardly Knew Ye Prospect Edition podcast, where we're putting guys, I don't want to say put guys to rest, because they could always, I guess, for some reason, come out and ball out, i.e. Sure. Darius Leonard. Just had to bring that up for you. But yeah, who are we starting with?
Okay, I'll just kick things off with Riley Ridley. I mean, I've loved Riley Ridley's tape. What he gets to do on tape, I think he's really impressive. He gave Greedy as hard a time as any receiver that I saw Greedy match it up against this past season. But man, I don't know. Like, he never had, and as much as I make fun of the stats guys because they say the fact that he's never had 600 yards makes him a fourth round pick, that in and of itself is dumb and poor reasoning. But when you do look at the full picture on his tape too, you have questions about how fast and explosive he really is. So those concerns didn't go away. Then he came to the combine and was under 200 pounds at 6'1 plus, which you wanted him to test. Like, I mean, his game is going to be really being, yeah, we depended on being a big receiver, I think. So he didn't really wow in that way, although his hand size and arm length was good. He didn't really profile physically as a big receiver, although he can still win in those spots, I think, at times. The bigger concern, he ran a 4.58 at 199 pounds. That's really not great. Now, it's slow for a receiver as it is. At 199 pounds, it's really bad. That's not what you're looking for at all. You could still win as a slower receiver in the NFL, so it wasn't totally out yet. Sure. But a 30.5-inch vertical jump, that's in the fifth percentile. I have this guy levitate on tape.
Not 5-0. Not 5-0. Right.
Correct. Fifth. Yes.
Five.
That
fifth.
Bad.
1, 2, 3, 4, fifth.
Yes. That's exactly how I would say it. 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth. But that's how bad. I mean, 30.5. I don't know how this guy levitates on tape. And I mean, he went up over Missouri's defensive back. Like, I swear he was walking on the air and made a catch and then came back. I have no idea how he jumped 30.5 inches other than just didn't train for the combine whatsoever. But can't stomach that one. The broad jump was great. But, I mean, at the end of the day, your three cones in the eighth percentile for receivers, and your 20-yard shuttle is in the 35th percentile for receivers, then you're not even technically a big receiver. There's not, with his production profile, the limited route tree that he ran at Georgia, although there were flashes of more nuanced routes, and I think he is a good route runner, to be able to do it consistently in the NFL, to be able to produce consistently, with that athletic profile and that production profile, it just, you know, his tape would have to be truly otherworldly dominant. And he only had like a solid second round grade for me off of tape. So I just think the other factors, my question was on his tape. I said, he's clearly good, but how good is he? And he clearly was. He was clearly good on tape, but how good was he? Is he, and how good can he be in the NFL, was basically what the question you need to ask with Ridley. And I think the answer is at most a solid number two. And he could have some trouble sticking. Right.
At most. So, yeah, it's tough for Ridley, because you talked about this earlier in the week when we were down there at the combine, or up there, wherever you are listening to this. You needed him to show some athletic upside, right? Because the production is not nearly there as much as you would want. There are parts of his receiving game where you go, okay, you like it, but in order for him to be the flashes that he shows on tape, like, you would want to have him to show the athletic profile to say that, okay, there is more to this guy than necessarily what was seen, because that's often the case with a lot of these guys when they come to the combine, is sometimes it's not even about reaffirming. Sometimes it's just like, hey, I need to see something to make sure the flashes that I'm seeing aren't flukes and are more of a coach getting more out of them at the next level. Like, their best days are ahead of them, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. kind of the way that it goes about. And for Riley Ridley, it's really hard to justify that his best days are ahead of him now that you know he's really not the athlete that maybe you thought he was. So, yeah, that was tough. My guy is another Georgia guy. You know who it is?
I do. I know what you're going to say, and I can't even blame you because I have him on my list as well.
It's Elijah Holyfield.
Oh. I mean, Never mind. I thought it was – there's so many Georgia guys. I thought it was going to be Nauta, but
okay, well,
here we are. Let's just get all the Georgia guys right out on the table right
sure.
out. Here we go.
SEC speed, baby. And by SEC speed, I mean fourth percentile 40-yard dash. Look, he's 215. So, like, he's 5'10", 215, put up 26 reps on the bench press. So, like, clearly a hoss, right? I mean, like, the dude's yoked. Mm-hmm. Rocked up. He's strong as hell.
We knew that part, though, right?
You need to be way more than just strong in the NFL, like way more. And dude ran a 4.78 40-yard dash. You know what percentile that is, John? It's fourth. Fourth.
I'm surprised it's that high.
Fourth.
That's
and
truly
I'm pretty
dreadful.
Sure the only reason it's not in the 0th percentile is because there've got to be like fullbacks that are accounted for in this like running back data, right?
Oh, that's hang on, let me check for you here. Indeed, fullback Dustin McClintock ran a 5.31, Henry Hynoski a 5.06, Mike Carney a 5.02, Joey Iosefa a 5.02, Zach
right.
Tuisipio a 5. Yeah, fullback. Here's the slowest running back, Zach Boren from Ohio State. Wow, I don't even remember him. He was pretty boring.
Don't even know who he is. Man, Jesus Christ, it's Zach Warren.
DiVincenzo Miller from Mississippi State ran a 4.93. I got fullbacks everywhere here. Hang on. Tommy Bohannon ran a 4.88 from Wake Forest. Jerome Smith, Aaron Stecker, Destry White, all in the 4.8s.
And here's the thing.
John Clay. Remember John Clay from Wisconsin?
Nope.
Oh, well, there's a reason. He was slow AF.
Okay. So to my point, the only reason he's in the fourth percentile is because fullbacks are in this category. Mm-hmm. There are no, count them, no running backs in the NFL who do well running 4.78. None. Mm-hmm. And this is not like football speed is different than testing speed in certain ways. Like, I can get on board with that. I'm not here just like stapling the combine to like, this is the tell all. But you are running in a straight line with no pads.
Yeah.
You are just running in a straight line. And he ran a 4.78. That ain't going to play.
Mm-hmm.
At the very best, Elijah Holyfield is an RB2 that is very replaceable or an RB3.
There's no way you take him before round 5, right?
Not
positional value.
No, not a chance.
Impact.
No.
I mean, he didn't catch the ball. He didn't protect a lot. So what?
Honestly, man, like, I'm not picking Elijah Holyfield until like the 200s. No way. If I'm picking him at all.
Right. I mean, the positional value is already bad enough as it is. Landis Gary, by the way, ran in the 4.7s. That's going to be your best 4.7 running back right there.
Okay, there we go. So, but like, he's in the fourth percentile 40-yard dash, and he's in the fourth percentile vertical jump. So not only do you not have the long speed, you don't even have the explosiveness.
Right. He didn't
Brother,
do anything well.
I can't defend that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's well, I mean, Isaac Nauta's in the same thing. Right, there's never I can't find a single tight end that ran 4.9s that was successful.
Here's my only thing with Isaac Nauta. I've got to believe that he left the draft early after the NFL advisory board told him to go back to school.
Yeah, which he said, right? He admitted that.
Because he looks like he's 37 years old. And he might actually be 37 years old
so
with that 40-yard dash.
For that age, this was actually a pretty good combine.
It was. I mean, 10 years ago, maybe he'd be an NFL player.
4.9, 140 in the 19th percentile for tight ends. A 28-inch vertical jump. I'm decently sure that give me a couple weeks to train, I could top that. 7th percentile for tight ends. 7.453 cone, 12th percentile. 4.43 20-yard shuttle, 34th percentile. Oh, his 60-yard shuttle, if you care about that, that also sucked. 23rd percentile.
I mean, yeah.
This man wasn't even average. I mean, he didn't even hit 35th percentile in any athletic category. The only thing he did was bench, which was 40th percentile for tight ends.
It's still below average.
And he is only 244 pounds, which is in the 13th percentile for a tight end. So if you weight adjust his numbers, they're even worse.
I'm not drafting this dude. No way.
At least he can block. I've said that, but still, what? I mean, this was bad. And he said he was running in the 4.6s and going to jump well. I mean, he said it the day before, man. Like, this man was convinced he was going to come out and elevate his stock in the combine, and he ran 4.91 and jumped 28 inches.
Big yikes.
I mean, his trainer got fired fast, I'm betting. But big also, yikes. Whoa, how do you predict 4.6 and run 4.9? That's hard to
You know who else had a bad combine?
Who?
You know who might have had the worst combine? Is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Oh.
Because at the beginning of the day, Ben Fennel, shout out Ben Fennel, we still love you. He tweeted out that Arcega-Whiteside jumped 43 and a half inches in the vertical, and everybody lost their goddamn minds. And then he goes, wait, sorry, that was Miles Boykin. Dude!
Who no one cared about.
Do that to me!
And then our boy Carter Donick said the funniest tweet. He said, Miles Boykin with the most disappointing 43.5-inch vertical jump in combine history.
100%. Every time Miles Boykin did anything for the rest of the day, I was pissed off. I hated him.
Miles Boykin. No one even cares about Miles Boykin, man.
I care. And the thing is that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside didn't do anything. He didn't do anything that day. And right. I guarantee you his agent got on the phone and was like, hey, buddy, I know you're about to jump 35 inches, and that's real great and everything. We're real proud of you. But people on Twitter thought you were jumping a 43.5. So you better save it till pro day. We can fudge the numbers.
I know you're excited about this 36.5-inch vert you got going on, JJ, but let me tell you something. People are going to have about 7 inches of disappointment when you get out there. Don't jump, brother. Don't even run.
Just pack it in.
Hit the showers right now.
I booked a plane for you. It leaves in 30. Get going.
We got to talk about Jakai Polite's pro day, though, or combine, because this man right here, you know, he pulled off something truly rare, Trevor. First of all, he bombed the interviews with teams. Second of all, he bombed the interviews with the media at the combine at his podium. So yeah. Already we were like, okay, all right, here we go. Like 30 weighed in at 258, and let me tell you, brother, it did not look like a good 258 pounds. Like, this man looked like he needed to take his training a little bit more seriously before he went on to endeavor to be an athlete at the combine field.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went out at the combine at 6'2". 5/8, 258 pounds, which is still light for an edge defender, but the way he was carrying it, you'd rather him have been 240. And short arms already for the position, which teams do have thresholds on at the, for edge defenders.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a 4.84 40-yard dash. A 4.84, given the speed we saw on tape. Big old mm-hmm. yards. Then jumped 32 inches in the vertical. But somehow that wasn't even the most impressive thing that he did. And you and I have talked about this. The day before, Voshawn Joseph said, Jakai Polite's going to tear up the combine. You guys just watch. He's a freak. Voshawn Joseph's waiting to take the field, watches Jakai Polite bomb the combine. Bomb it. And he says, no way an H-E double hockey stick am I going out on that field to embarrass myself when the man that is my legend, my hero, is running 4.84 and jumping 32 inches. I'm out. So
I'm done.
He left Indy. I mean, where was Voshawn? Voshawn didn't even do anything. This man didn't even get dressed for the day. Oh, Jakai Polite tanked his own stock at another man's on the same day and crushed his heart. Bless him.
I'm done.
guy pulled out the greatest combine performance ever.
Oh,
broke
my
heart too, because I had him in the first round. Oh boy.
So yeah, I mean, let me recover here. Hold on. I'm wiping the tears out from under my eyes. It is one thing to tank your own stock, but to have collateral stock damage is truly unprecedented. Yeah, we said this a little bit on the live stream. We were talking about Jakai Polite. Jakai Polite didn't get any worse at football this past weekend. That's kind of a fact. But this combine process exists for a reason. These guys are trying to figure out who these players are, how they deal with different stuff. And, you know, I've said multiple times that, you know, NFL teams ask these guys and put them in really stupid situations sometimes in order to get them to put their walls down. I mean, we talked in the live stream that, you know, Chris Boyd got asked if he has two balls and if he has both testicles from a team. And it's like, okay, is that really necessary? No, probably not. But we know teams are going to do really funky things.
Right.
To try to get you to put down your walls and be a little bit different. But I mean, like you prepare for these things, right? I mean, like Jakai Polite knew this was coming. Like, you got to be able to handle it better than that. You can't call, you know, teams what they do, just like bashing you just because they're looking at your film and they're like, hey, why did you do this? Why didn't you do this? What? Okay. They're trying to see how you're going to react. They're not like bashing you. They're putting you on a test. They're trying to see, because look, man, Jakai Polite's got first round film.
Right.
And you're going to, if you draft this guy first round, guess what's going to have to happen? He's going to have to talk to the media a lot.
Right.
And you have got to get these guys to get real uncomfortable, because when you lose a game at the end in a BS way, maybe your own coach did something you don't agree with that you shouldn't have done. You got to know that guy, your first round pick, when the media comes up to him afterwards in the locker room, he can at least handle himself and not tank the team. You've got to be able to figure that out. And Jakai Polite, I think, failed in that area. Like I said, the NFL goes about it a little bit of a weird way. But I think Jakai still did himself a disservice. And certainly, you could tell that he bulked up for the combine because people were telling him, hey, you're a little bit light. We need you a little bit heavier. But he didn't look like he put on good weight. It didn't look like a good 258.
Right, right.
And then, obviously, you know, certainly if you're running and jumping poorly at a bigger weight, there's no reason for you to even be at that bigger weight. So it just was not a good combine showing. And then afterwards, you know, we hear, hey, Jakai Polite's basically coming out of the first round now. Like, nobody's going to draft him in the first round. You know, we heard the Rams pick at 31, and we heard that, you know, Jakai really liked his time with the Rams, and they actually treated him pretty well. And so potentially the Rams, who need an edge rusher, could be available at 31. But more likely than not, I think he's probably slipping to the second round for a lot of these different teams.
Yeah, I think I agree. And I think that, you know, the biggest question for me with him is not, like I said, his tape. But, I mean, he was light on tape, and then he came in super heavy, and he tested really poorly, which suggested his training wasn't good or his body wasn't used to playing at that weight. And honestly, the weight didn't look good, so that may be for the best. But how can he hold up on the edge if he's lighter on a full-time basis? Also, remember, he didn't play as a full-time guy at Florida. Like, most of the time he was, you know, rotating around with other guys. And toward the end of the season, he played a little bit more, but there was never like a full season of full-time Jakai Polite, every down defender on tape with him, which does scream of Tim Williams. And it also suggest maybe this guy doesn't know how to take care of his body and be in good enough condition to play on a full-time basis. So there's
maybe
a lot of concerns.
Look, maybe day two was good for him all along.
Maybe that's where you know? Should be. Yeah, I mean, if it's Tim Williams' situation, he probably wasn't worth drafting at this point, as much as it pains to say. But I think Jakai Polite, yeah, it's hard. I mean, this guy could totally not make it in the league, and we'll see what team, you know, or he could suddenly get it together and, you know, get in great shape and be an impact player. So either way, you just can't take that risk in the first round. I'll throw one other name out there before we wrap it up, because I wrote about other guys in the article, but Mike Bell from Fresno State, man. I know you didn't see this guy.
Oh, my gosh. Your boy.
Bro, I watched like 5-6 games. I was waiting for him to, like, where are the bad plays with this guy? Why are people frustrated? Are you not higher on this guy? And then talked to some people, and they were like, yeah, we actually like him a lot on tape. You know, we're just kind of waiting to see what his combine's like. Well, let me tell you something, brother. This combine here was one of the most disappointing things I ever seen in my life. At least he's tall. He's 6'2 and 3/4, 210 pounds, so great size for a safety. Arm length was terrific, in the 74th percentile. Great wingspan. I mean, this guy, I mean, he shows he can tackle outside his frame. So he's checking all the physical boxes. Then it gets to the part where you actually have to move, and then things went downhill quickly. A 4.8 3.40 puts him in the first percentile. In this case, first is the exact opposite of where you want to be. A 30-inch vertical was in the second percentile. Again, the exact opposite of where you want to be.
It's like the biblical first, you know?
Right.
First shall be last.
That's basically yes, because he was the last. I think he might be the worst. He's one of the worst 40s of all time for a safety. There's just no other. Short shuttle, fifth percentile. Bench reps, only 10. Well, I don't even care about the bench, but another thing where he's in a bottom percentile. Three cone, he was in the 19th percentile. Broad jump was great, though. He hit the 35th percentile on the broad jump. I mean,
come on, man.
Bro, this guy, like, I'm broad sorry.
Jump was great.
My man declared early to come out to the combine and run 4.83.
Yeah, but he's got great swag, though. Those earrings were dope.
I love talking to him. I did. Yeah, you know, I think his earrings were dope. You're right. I think that, you know, he really, on tape, he is physical and he really plays with good instincts on the back end. He makes a lot of plays in the ball. I just cannot, not at 4.83, man. Like,
it's too slow.
Coming from a small, like a school where you're not playing top competition, like, that testing's really important to me to see how you athletically compare to other players. And
yeah.
I had Mike Bell in the third round, and I just, there's no way I can take him till the end of the draft, maybe just a flyer based on his tape. But even then, like, there's just no profile for success in this type of athletic testing. So if he hits, I'll take the L, but the process to get to a low grade for Mike Bell is right here. Like, there just is no reason to, after this kind of a combine, not even if he was okay at the combine, like Malik Gant was just, you know, blah at the combine, but like his tape suggests there's other ways he can win. And I'm going to write about that too. But for Mike Bell, they're just, I don't think he gives you enough of anything. I mean, maybe see if he can play linebacker. I don't know, but if you bulk him, he's probably going to be even slower. And so, and his profile isn't great compared to other linebackers. So
yeah, like Ed Oliver.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like Ed Oliver. The only thing, if you compare him to the linebackers in Mock Draftable's database, the only thing where he finishes above 50th percentile is in the broad jump, and he was only 62. So he's an unathletic linebacker. Wrap your mind around that, and he's a safety. I mean, let's just, for kicks, let's just see how this man compares to a defensive lineman. He's still in the 36th percentile for vertical jump as a defensive lineman. So it's bad. So in any event, there are guys that we're basically at this point having to say goodbye to based on the way that they played and the way that they performed at the combine, and their stock obviously plummeting at this point. And there's some guys with, like Calvin Harmon, like I mentioned Malik Gant. I still think there's ways those guys can win. I'm not out on them based on their combine, because they have skill sets to win in specific ways that isn't incumbent upon elite athleticism. So, you know, there is in-betweens here, but with the guys we just talked about, the full scope of their profile suggests we got to let them go. We got to say goodbye.
Yep.
It's a sad moment. We'll be back tomorrow with more on the podcast. Obviously, hey, if you can, go over to iTunes, leave us reviews and ratings this time of year. Means the world to us, means the world to our stock as a podcast. So check that out and do that if you guys can. As always, we thank you all so much for listening, and keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.